And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West. The most haunted city in the country. Well, today is August the 24th. The 236th day of the year. Leap year is 237th day. 129 days remain till the end of the year. In 367 A.D., Gratian, son of Roman Emperor Valentinian I, is named Co-Augustus, in other words, deputy king, at the age of 8 by his father. 394, the Graffitio of Eskmet Ekham, the latest known inscription in Egyptian hieroglyphics, is written. 410, the Visigoths, under King Alaric I, begins to pillage Rome. 785, the sack of Thessalonica by the Normans. 1200, King John of England, signer of the first Magna Carta, marries Isabella of Angoulême in the Angoulême Cathedral. 1215, Pope Innocent III issues a papal bull, declaring the Magna Carta invalid. 1349, 6,000 Jews are killed in Mainz after being blamed for the bubonic plague. 1482, the town and castle of Berwick upon Tweed is captured from Scotland by an English army. 1516, the Ottoman Empire under Selim I defeats the Mamluk Sultanate and captures present-day Syria in the Battle of Marsdijk. 1561, Wilhelm of Orange marries Duchess Anna of Savoy, Saxony. 1608, the first official English representative to India arrives in Surat. 1643, a Dutch fleet establishes a new colony in the ruins of Valdivian in southern Chile. 1682, the Act of Uniformity requires English to accept the Book of Common Prayer. More war, death, and destruction has happened in the name of religion than anything else. 1682, William Penn receives the area that's now the state of Delaware and adds it to his colony of Pennsylvania. 1690, Job Charnock of the East India Company establishes a factory in Calcutta, an event formerly considered the founding of the city. In 2003, the Calcutta High Court ruled the city's foundation date is unknown. Can't have an Englishman deciding when an Indian city is formed. 1781, American Revolutionary War. Small force of Pennsylvania militia is ambushed and overwhelmed by an American Indian group. Forces George Rogers Clark to abandon his attempt to attack Detroit. 1812, Peninsula War. A coalition of Spanish, British, and Portuguese forces succeed in lifting the 2.5-year-long siege of Cadiz. 1814, British troops invade Washington, D.C., and during the burning of Washington, the White House, the Capitol, many of the buildings are set on fire. 1815, the modern Constitution of the Netherlands is signed. 1816, the Treaty of St. Louis is signed in St. Louis, Missouri. 1620, Constitutionalist insurrection at Oporto, Portugal. 1821, the Treaty of Cordoba is signed in Cordoba, now in Veracruz, Mexico, concluding the Mexican War of Independence from Spain. 1857, the Panic of 1857 starts, setting off one of the most severe economic crises in United States history. You ain't seen nothing until this one's over. 1870, the Wolseley Expedition reaches Manitoba to end the Red River Rebellion. 1898, Count Muravoy, Foreign Minister of Russia, presents a rescript that convoked the first Hague Peace Conference. 1909, workers start pouring concrete for the Panama Canal. 1911, Manuel de Arriaga is elected and sworn in as the first president of Portugal. 1914, World War I, German troops capture Namur. 1914, The Battle of Surrey ends as the first Allied victory in World War I. 1929. Second day of the two-day Hebron massacre during the 1929 Palestine revolts. Arabs' attacks on the Jewish community in Hebron and the British Mandate of Palestine result in the death of between 65 and 68 Jews, and the remaining Jews are forced to flee the city. 1931, resignation of the United Kingdom's second Labour government, formation of the UK national government. 1932, Amelia Earhart becomes the first woman to fly across the U.S. nonstop from L.A. to Newark, New Jersey. 1933, the Crescent Limited train derails in Washington, D.C. after the bridge it is crossing is washed out by the 1933 Chesapeake Potomac hurricane. 1936, the Australian Antarctic Territory is created. 1937, Spanish Civil War. The Basque Army surrenders to the Italian Corpo Truppa Volontaria following the Santona Agreement. Also in the Spanish Civil War, 1937, Sovereign Council of Australia, San Rion, is proclaimed in Gijón. 1941, Adolf Hitler orders the cessation of Nazi government's systemic T4 euthanasia program of the mentally ill and the handicapped due to protest, although they continued to kill them throughout the war. 1942, Battle of the Eastern Solomons, Japanese air carrier Ryukyus sunk. The loss of 7 officers and 113 crewmen. The USS Enterprise is heavily damaged in that engagement. 1944, Allied troops begin the attack on Paris. 1949, the treaty creating the North Atlantic Treaty Organization goes into effect. 1950, Edith Sampson becomes the first black U.S. delegate to the United Nations. 1954, the Communist Control Act goes into effect, outlawing the American Communist Party. Also in 1954, Getulio Vargas, president of Brazil, commits suicide and is succeeded by Jair Café Filho. 1963, the Buddhist crisis. As a result of the Xilo Pagoda raids, the U.S. State Department cables the U.S. Embassy in Saigon to encourage Army of the Republic of Vietnam generals to launch a coup against President Diem if he doesn't remove his brother, General Nguyen. 1967, led by Abby Hoffman, the Youth International Party temporarily disrupts trading in the New York Stock Exchange by throwing dollar bills from the viewing gallery, causing trading to cease as brokers scramble to pick them up. 1970, Vietnam War protesters bomb Sterling Hall at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, leading to an international manhunt for the perpetrators. 1981, Mark David Chapman sentenced to 20 years to life in prison for murdering John Lennon. 1989, Colombian drug barons declared total war on the Colombian government. So what else is new? Also in 1989, Cincinnati Reds manager Pete Rose is banned from baseball for gambling by Commissioner Giamatti. 1989, the Duse Mazowiecki is chosen as the first non-communist prime minister in Central and Eastern Europe. 1991, Mikhail Gorbachev resigns as head of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. Also in 1991, Ukraine declares itself independent from the Soviet Union. 1992, Hurricane Andrew makes landfall in Homestead, Florida as a Category 5 hurricane. Causes up to $25 billion in 1992 dollars in damages. 1995, Windows 95 was released to the public in North America by Microsoft. 1998, first radio frequency identification human implantation tested in the UK. 2004, 90 passengers die after two airliners explode after flying out of Domodedovo International Airport near Moscow. The explosions are caused by suicide bombers from Chechnya. 2006, the International Astronomical Union redefines the term planet. So Pluto is now considered a dwarf planet, which upset Mickey Mouse terribly. 2010, in San Fernando, Tamaulipas, Mexico. 72 illegal immigrants are killed by those Zetas and eventually found dead by Mexican authorities. 2010, Hainan Airlines Flight 8387 crashes at Duchen Lindu Airport in China, killing 44 out of the 96 people on board. 2016, an earthquake strikes central Italy with a magnitude 6.2, with aftershocks felt as far as Rome and Florence. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances. Christian Feast Day. Aban of Ireland. Aurea of Ostia. Bartholomew the Apostle in the Roman Catholic and the Anglican Church. Jean Antidi Tourette. Maria Michaela Desmazares, Massa Candida, Martyrs of Utica, Owen, Odoin, Flag Day in Liberia, Independence Day, celebrates independence of Ukraine from the Soviet Union in 1991. Also, it's International Strange Music Day, National Waffle Day in the U.S., Nostalgia Night in Uruguay, and Woka Remy in Cusco, Peru. There's, of course, a lot of interesting things in history. History is fun. In 49 BC, Julius Caesar's general Gaius Scribonius Curio was defeated in the second battle of the Bagratus River by the Numidians under Publius Attius Varius and King Juba of Numidia. To avoid capture, Curio commits suicide. In 79, Mount Vesuvius erupts, buries Rome and Pompeii and Herculaneum. 15,000 people die. You know, the Romans had entered into a treaty with the Visigoths. And they turned on them and resulted in the sacking of Rome and the fall of the Western Roman Empire. 1217, the Battle of South Foreland, English fleet beats France. 'Alfonso de Albuquerque of Portugal conquers Malacca, the capital of the Sultanate of Malacca, in 1511. 'Mozart completes his violin and piano sonata in 1787. Is there anything else? '47, Charlotte Bronte finishes her manuscript of the book Jane Eyre. '53, the first potato chips are prepared by Chef George Crum at Moon's Lake House near Sarasota Springs, New York. 'Thomas Edison patents the motion picture camera in 1891 on this date. I think that's pretty much got it. You know, there's a lot of strange things on this planet, many of which the average individual never see. And there's a lot of things hidden in the jungle. I can tell you that from personal experience. Let's go to Cambodia and talk about Angkor Wat, a temple of power and myth that was hidden by the jungle. A 19th century naturalist and explorer, Henri Mahout, said it's grander than anything left to us by Greece or Rome. You know, one of the world's largest and most elaborate religious monuments is Angkor Wat, located in Colombia. Spans more than 500 acres with a 213-foot central peak-like tower, a number of smaller towers, and a 13-foot deep moat, where the ghosts of the Khmer warriors sound their ominous warnings. This was considered a sacred place that had to be protected at all costs. Built in the early 12th century by Khmer King Suyawarman II, who, legend has it, murdered his great uncle while he rode an elephant to rise to power. This temple, which may have served as an elaborate ancient calendar, was dedicated to the deity Vishnu. It's elaborately decorated with bas reliefs of supernatural battles. The most famous carving is a 160-foot long churning of the sea milk, featuring demons and gods who stir the waters into a frenzied boil and use a five-headed snake as a rope. The wall aligns with the sun and the moon and signals the solstices, while the entire temple lines up with the dragon constellation in the northern sky. Inside, virtually every surface is carved with ornate images of gods, mythological scenes, and dancers. But for some reason, by the 15th century, Angkor Wat was abandoned and swallowed by the jungle. No one has any idea where everybody went. And its demise has been the subject of debate for decades. For many, many years, it was known as a lost city by Westerners, though the locals knew where it was at. You know, interestingly enough, more than 5 million tons of sandstone were quarried and transported 25 miles by canals to build the temple. In fact, it contains more stone than was used to construct all the pyramids in Egypt. And this is one structure. There are more than 2,000 carvings of female nymph figures and depictions of 32 hells and 37 heavens. And some claim to have heard mysterious sounds and echoing through the city and believe it's the ghost of the Khmer warriors that are protecting it. Now, there's long been the question of what happened to Angkor. And rather than suffering a sudden catastrophic collapse, such as a war with the next-door kingdom, it seems the temple cities just slowly declined over a century. One possibility is the climate change disrupted the rainfall and upended the water system. And now it faces a new danger. The stubborn drought in Cambodia lowers the water line of the moat. The temple's sandstone foundations could be exposed, and that would compromise the integrity of the structures. Experts say the water supply is being regulated to protect the temple. Well, in France, we have the Karnak stones. Freestanding stones are called menhirs. Several have been removed to make way for roads. About 50 of them were used to build a lighthouse at Belle. You know, in the northwest of France, thousands of these stones, as tall as 12 feet tall, stand in precise military formations, which is perhaps why local legend has named them as Roman troops turned to stone by the wizard Merlin, or maybe by St. Cornelius, who's supposed to be a local saint. You know, in fact, the Karnak stones that cover the Brittany countryside, which is the largest concentration of prehistoric megaliths or stone monuments in the world, go back as far as Arthurian tales and Christianity. And that's about 4,500 B.C., when they were first carved out of local rock by Neolithic people for unknown reasons. And I said they go back to the Arthurian tales of Christianity. In fact, they go back far beyond the Arthurian tales and the existence of Christianity, which only came into existence over 2,000 years ago. totaling more than 3,000 stones, form circular patterns or rows, while some are used to make dolmens or tombs. There are four separate alignments across almost 100 acres, featuring rows of stones set in arrangements of 1 to 13 lines. Now, one theory is they might have been ancient observatories like Stonehenge, or maybe maps of the stars or guides to sunsets and solstices. It's estimated it would have taken at least 1 million years worth of manpower to create, and some have suggested the stones are a passage leading to a gateway that exists between worlds. Now, the dolmens have been neglected for years, with some used as sheep shelters, chicken sheds, and even outdoor ovens. They existed before the Great Pyramids of Egypt were built and were topped with flat stones and covered over with earth to form large mounds. In fact, some of the capstones weighed more than 50 tons, which meant that hundreds of people would have worked together to move them. But we have no idea why they would have expended all this effort for something like that. And let's talk about Echterstein in Germany. Dramatic rock pillars that intrigued pagans, monks, and Nazis alike. You know, jutting out of the Teutoburg forest in Germany like rocky pillars are five towering sandstone rock formations. They have captivated the imagination of modern-day pagans who believe the Earth's energy streams out of holes drilled in the rocks. On Walpurgis night, which is the night of the witches in spring or during the summer solstice, the believers are drawn by the strange aura and rugged beauty of the Echterstein. They claim to feel the connection that goes back 10,000 years when the first nomadic people gathered there. They left behind stone tools, arrowheads, and fire pits. A hole above one stone faces towards sunrise during the summer solstice, one of several signs of astrological use. But theories that the German pagans worship amid the boulders have been largely dismissed, as have stories of the sacred pillar known as Erminsul was located there until it was destroyed by the Roman Emperor Charlemagne. You know, 8th century monks carved out stairs and made religious-themed etchings at the site. And centuries later came the Nazis, who saw Echterstein not as a holy place, but as a propaganda tool. In fact, the head of the SS, Heinrich Himmler, concocted a German origins history around the site that was largely fake. Then there were hermit monks who believed to have lived in caves at the base of the rocks. According to Carol Emmerich of Arcana magazine, Stonehenge was built by people. Echterstein was built by nature, and then manipulated by people, which may well be correct. Well, let's turn our attention to Polynesia, the famed Easter Island. You know, the moment British Captain James Cook saw the monstrous statues of Easter Island, he wrote with a perplexing question, how these islanders, wholly unacquainted with any mechanical power, could raise such stupendous figures. That has not been figured out yet. It was 1774 when he first laid eyes on these statues. And ever since, nearly everything about this tiny wind-whipped speck in the middle of the Pacific Ocean is stupefied with questions of how and why the people came to the land they'd called Rapa Nui, how and why they made and moved these rocky behemoths, and how and why it all became to a rose to a peak and then came to a sudden and dramatic halt. In fact, hundreds of these statues were found lying around incomplete. It's believed that sometime around 1200 AD, Polynesians paddled to the island, which is 2,000 miles away from the coast of Chile, and they founded a thriving community. And at some point, they went to work carving these statues known as moai. They used solidified volcanic ash, nearly all of it came from a single quarry, shaped by chisels made of basalt into figures with
pouting thin lips, elongated ears, big noses, square jaws, and heavy eyebrow ridges. Teams of a half a dozen men labored for a year to complete each of these statues. Then another 200 transported these giants. The largest stood 30 feet tall and weighed more than 80 tons to the resting sites. But the question is, how did they do it with no modern tools or machines? The locals believe in mana, the supernatural power contained in all people, most powerfully in priests who, legend has it, assisted the statues to walk under their own power. Once in place, these statues stared across the island for hundreds of years, each believed to honor ancestors of the heads of different lineages. And then something happened. And it happened suddenly. Production stopped. Only a quarter of the statues created or ever erected. The rest lay in a quarry or strewn about the island. This much is known. The ecology on this already fragile 7x14-mile island degraded due to deforestation and erosion. Hungry rats, that probably stowed away aboard early European ships in the 1700s, ate up the vegetation. Population dropped from about 15,000 to less than 3,000. Then there was social upheaval, Peruvian slave traders, smallpox, tuberculosis. Today, about 5,500 residents struggle with the bad side effects of tourism and a drought caused by climate change that threatens to drop the island's water. And the moai, as they're called, likely didn't always stare out through blank sockets. Scientists believe the statue's deep elliptical eye sockets may have had coral eyes with black or red pupils. Now, it surprises many who've only seen the statues as heads, but unseen beneath ages of sediment is the rest of the body. Stocky legs and arms pressed against the body on the sides or clasped at the belly. The hands have long, slender fingers. What were they trying to replicate? You know, apart from seven of these statues that look out at the sea, the rest face away from the ocean and toward the villages as if to watch over the people. You know, scientists have come up with two theories about how the statues were moved. They were hauled by ropes, either over parallel wood rails or yanked through a Y-shaped tree trunk sledge. But I like the idea of the priest getting them to move on their own power. That has a certain elegance to it. Well, let's talk about, in Turkey, Göbekli Tepe, which may well have been the actual site of the Garden of Eden. You know, there are four reasons why it's believed this might have been the site of the Garden of Eden. According to the Genesis Secret by Tom Knox, Göbekli is near the Tigris and Euphrates River west of Assyria, as is Eden in the Bible. The Bible mentions the children of Eden, which were in Telassar, which is located south of Göbekli in Syria. Or, number three, Beth Eden, or House of Eden, mentioned in Syrian text, was a small kingdom 50 miles west of Göbekli Tepe. And finally, the fourth reason why it's thought this might be the Garden of Eden, Göbekli sits on a plain, and Eden means plain in Sumerian. Circumstantial evidence to be sure, but possibly. Now, Göbekli Tepe is Turkish for Potbelly Hill. It's located in southern Turkey. And for a millennia, it looked like a giant mound until archaeologists in the early 1990s unearthed something amazing and unexplained. They found dozens of T-shaped megaliths inscribed with strange images of snakes, lions, and spiders. Now, the pillars themselves appear human-shaped with oblong heads, with the tallest measuring 16 feet in height and weighing between 7 and 10 tons. What makes this find so remarkable is that it dates back at least 12,000 years, before Stonehenge, before even pottery, the invention of the wheel, which means the stones were hewn, erected, and engraved by prehistoric people who were supposed to have been nothing more than nomadic hunter-gatherers lacking such sophistication and organization. But even more mysterious is the question of why, about 8,000 BC, it was all buried and abandoned. Now, some say this can be explained to Göbekli Tepe was actually the temple of the Garden of Eden. As the once wandering people came here to worship over thousands of years and needed a centralized food source, this began agriculture with crops and farm animals first domesticated nearby. And then the fall of Eden marked man's descent from the leisurely life of gathering to the toil of agriculture. Paradise was lost, and so was Göbekli Tepe. There's a whole lot more. In fact, one professor, David Lewis Williams, said Göbekli Tepe is the most important archaeological site in the world. Maybe so. Well, let's go back to France again. The Lascaux Cave, known by many as the Sistine Chapel of Prehistoric Art. You know, hordes of visitors and bad air conditioning threatened to destroy the paintings and forced officials to shut down the cave to the public in 1963. Today, large-scale reproductions of the caves and the artwork are the closest thing people can get to the real thing. It was discovered by a local teenager in 1940 when his dog fell in a hole in the ground. When he followed the dog to rescue his pet, he found the Lascaux Cave of southwestern France, which featured masterpieces of prehistoric art, thousands of animals, humans, and... I mean, what he found in that cave was just absolutely unbelievable. Now, they were painted in yellow, red, and black pigments, but it could also show something a little more ethereal. One theory suggests some of the paintings, horses, stags, cats, a bear, a buffalo-like auroch, a rhinoceros, a bird, a human, and I have to ask how somebody in France saw a rhinoceros, may represent the stars and the constellations that people looked at up to 17,000 years ago. And then there's the biggest curiosity of all. There's a painting of a creature that resembles a unicorn. That's supposed to be mythological. So much of this gallery is shrouded in mystery. Scientists still don't know whether the paintings were done at the same time or over the millennia, if the artists were men, women, children, or some combination, or even why the images were painted at all. Are they celebrating hunts? Did it represent sort of worship or serve merely as a creative outlet? Whatever the answer might be, it was done with the greatest of care. The paint was applied with fingers, dabbed on with some sort of utensil, even sprayed through a tube on the cave walls and ceiling. In fact, in one chamber, thousands of images cover a ceiling of nearly 9 feet. The height, along with the man-made holes in the wall, suggests the artist built scaffolds to realize her vision. But why go to all this trouble for amusement? Well, from France, let's cross the globe to Peru, Machu Picchu, the magnificent Incan citadel. Now, due to its location high in the mountains, every morning a blanket of mist covers the city, making it seem like it's nestled in the clouds. You know, Yale historian Hiram Bingham hacked through the snake-infested jungles in the mountains of southern Peru in 1911. He finally stumbled upon one of the greatest wonders of the world, the remains of the sacred Incan citadel of Machu Picchu. Constructed in the 15th century by master stonemasons without the use of mortar, the complex of palaces, temples, and storehouses perched 7,970 feet above sea level. And this city has both fascinated and perplexed scientists since it was unveiled in the April 1913 issue of National Geographic. Now, the mystery is why it was built, in such a remote location especially. Local legends tell of the Intihuatana stone at the pinnacle of the site, which offers passage into the spirit world with a single touch to the forehead. And certainly that stone seems to help track the equinoxes, or the buildings are temples to the moon and the sun. Built around 1450 during the reign of Emperor Pachacuti, who, like all great Inca rulers, was looked upon as a god descended from the sun, Machu Picchu lasted only 80 years as a royal country retreat before it was abandoned as a result of a smallpox epidemic that decimated the region's population during the Spanish conquest. Among other things, the Spanish brought with them diseases that the Incas had no immunity to. To hide the city from marauding conquistadors, the Incas burned away the surrounding forests so new growth would obscure the trails and consume the structures. In fact, it wouldn't be found by Bingham until nearly 500 years after it was abandoned. During the exploration, Bingham said that we went on all four, sometime holding on by our fingernails. And among the strange things found there have been human skulls with oddly elongated skulls, which bring up theories of alien visitors. Now, other theories are that these skulls, like many found in the Incan and Mayan burial grounds, were the result of the practice of headbinding by the elites to create long oval heads demonstrating their dominance, which to me seems kind of stupid unless they were emulating folks they looked up to. Now, the 700 terraces located at the site were designed to catch water for crops, including potatoes, quinoa, and corn. And these structures are so well built, even without the use of mortar, that a knife blade can't fit between the stones. Contained within Machu Picchu is over 150 buildings that range from temples and sanctuaries to houses and baths. Well, you know, in addition to strange cities, there's also been a fascinating collection of mystical, magical objects that have been found. Devices that amaze, astound, and in some cases terrify. And of course, scientists have something to say about all of them. We'll start out with the Shroud of Turin. You know, frankly, no textile has generated more fervent interest and controversy than this 14.5 by 3.5 foot piece of linen, believed him by many to have been shrouded in Jesus for his burial after his crucifixion. Bearing the image of a tall, muscular, bearded man with shoulder-length hair, this shroud's been stored at the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Turin since 1578. Of course, radiocarbon dating, forensic analysis have cast doubt that the shroud wrapped Christ, or frankly anybody else. But while it can't prove it, it can't disprove it either. Let's talk about the fabled crystal skulls. By the late 1800s, private collectors obtained about a dozen skulls of clearer, milky quartz, similar to the one Harrison Ford would seek in the 2008 film Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Some believe they were created by Mesoamericans tens of thousands of years ago. Others claim they were delivered to Earth by aliens. And there are those who believe the skull possesses powers to heal or even turn people into psychics. Even with today's technology, they're almost impossible to make. How about Antikythera mechanism? More than 100 years ago, sponge divers... retrieved a corroded green chunks of bronze from a 2,000-year-old shipwreck off the Greek island of Antikythera. Researchers discovered these were the mechanisms of a startlingly advanced device that could predict the positions of the sun, the stars, the five visible planets, and moon. Actually, this was the first analog computer. It even had instructions on how to use it written on the back in ancient Greek. What if it came with a warranty? Well, let's talk about the Hope Diamond, one of the most famous diamonds in the world. you have to start out by asking yourself, has there ever been a more deadly jewel? This 45.52 carat deep blue diamond, the largest of its kind, was mined in India and first cut for France's King Louis XIV in 1668. After his death, it passed through many privileged hands. Valued at over $350 million, the diamond said to be followed by a curse based on tales that its many owners suffered mob attack, beheading, starvation, financial and marital misfortune, or even suicide. Its current owner, the Smithsonian Institution, says it brought nothing but good luck in the form of record numbers of visitors to the National Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C. How about the Zhangying Seismoscope? It's the ultimate multi-hyphenate. Zhangying was an engineer, an artist, a poet, a writer, a mathematician, geographer, an astronomer in China during the Han Dynasty, which was about 2,000 years ago. But it was his work as an inventor that most stands out. In 132 AD, he created a complicated metal, urn-shaped device with a crank, pendulum, and sling, and a ball that was said by ancient texts to be capable of detecting earthquakes hundreds of miles away. Although modern scientists have struggled to replicate the seismoscope, its principles of its design are applied today. How about the Iron Pillar of Delphi? It still stands in India. It's a 13,000-pound metal rod designed about 1,600 years ago, and it's fascinated science due to its ability to resist rust. Eric von Däniken jumped on this fact to suggest in his bestseller, Chariots of the Gods, that ancient extraterrestrial visitors passed on the secret to forging it. But in reality, non-believers in the ancient alien theory have credited the great skill of Indian metallurgist at creating it. Well, let me ask you a question. Where did they learn how to do it? How about the Sancta Camisa? The veil of the Virgin, Sancta Camisa, is a rectangular piece of silk that Mary said they've worn during her labor and delivery of Jesus. Believed to have been given to Chartres Cathedral in France in 876 by King Charles de Bald, whose grandfather, Charlemagne, had been given it as a gift from the Byzantine Empress. The fabric, which is stored in a reliquary box, has been carbon dated to the first century. It could be, but then again, it could not be. Let's talk about the Nazca lines in Peru. There have been theories down through history about what these lines may represent. One figure called the Nazca astronaut is a buggy-eyed figure that appears to be waving. It's been described by some as the billboard summoning back extraterrestrials the ancients thought were gods, though non-believing scientists suggest a more down-to-earth likelihood. In their view, he's a fisherman and holding a net and his catch, even though it's not anywhere near the ocean. You know, these lines are etched into the iron-rich red dirt of a coastal plain in southern Peru. These geoglyphs, which are over 2,000 years old, show a lizard, a frog, a condor, a spider, a monkey, and a hummingbird. And even a figure some say resembles an astronaut. These figures have baffled scientists and sent alien visitor theorists into a speculative frenzy. Okay. These primitive tool etchings were made less than a foot deep. So the question is, were they intended as a sort of ancient guide to the stars and planets? Were they drawn to appeal to the gods to bring water to this arid land? You have to excuse me there. We have people who play games with computerized phone numbers. Well, were these lines created to be a calendar? Of course, the most outrageous theory The line's got alien spaceships, making this the world's first airport. Spanning up to 3/4 of a mile, the designs are all the more impressive when viewed from high above the Nazca Desert, which raised the question of exactly how these decidedly earthbound ancient artists pulled off this feat, and who were they trying to impress? If they could only be seen for what they are from a height, how did they get there? Now, there are hundreds of lines and geometric shapes. Other designs resemble animals, flowers, trees. They're only a foot wide in some places, more than 6 feet wide in others. So you have to ask yourself how they came to be. Well, let's go to Jordan, at a place I find personally fascinating, which is the city of Petra, which means rock. It's a hidden city with cliff-carved monuments. You've seen the city in one of the Indiana Jones shows. In fact, it was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. One of the buildings there is a treasury, and it was featured in the final scenes. It was shown as the entrance to the final resting place of the Holy Grail. Now, Petra became a lost city after its decline. Its location was a close-to-held secret by Bedouins who wanted to protect the riches they believed were hidden somewhere in the tombs. Archaeologist Zaidoun Al-Moisen of Jordan's Yarmouk University told National Geographic, "We've uncovered about 15% of the city. The vast majority, about 85%, is still underground and untouched." Now, the first glimpse of Petra is breathtaking. Visitors to Petra walk through a steep, nearly mile-long gorge decorated with larger-than-life carvings till they get to a dark 10-foot-wide split in the sandstone that reveals the most elaborate ruin of this fantastic city of rock. Called Alcazay, the treasury, because early Bedouins thought it held riches. It's one of the most incredible monuments of the ancient world. The towering facade of this first century mausoleum, a dramatic mashup of Greek Corinthian columns, an Egyptian goddess, woman warriors, winged victories, and a half a dozen Amazons with axes, isn't so much as carved into the sandstone as it bursts out of it. It's tucked deep in the desert canyons of southern Jordan. Petra was settled as early as 9,000 B.C. and grew into a trading center for the nomadic Arabs called the Nabataeans, who also built huge block-shaped tombs known as jinn blocks, which take their name from the spirits of Arabic folklore. About 2,000 years ago, Petra had a peak population of 30,000 people, sustained in the dry months by an advanced water system of pipes, canals, and cisterns. And for a time under Roman rule, after 106 A.D., Petra became even grander, until Palmyra in modern-day Syria siphoned trade away and an earthquake devastated the city. After that, Petra was eventually forgotten to outsiders until its rediscovery by 19th-century adventurers. Now considered one of the 7 new wonders of the world, Petra has drawn so many visitors, over 1.1 million in 2019, despite the region's political instability, that its famous ruins are at risk of destruction. Tourists who touch or even lean on the ancient walls, combined with human foot traffic and the hard hooves of donkeys and camels, are eroding the sandstone. You know, Petra is rightly nicknamed the Rose City due to the color of the stone it's carved out of, and it does draw the curious. Well, now let's go to one of the best known mysteries of history, the Great Pyramid of Giza. You know, it's difficult to dismiss pyramid power as a New Age nuttiness when no less an authority than the Journal of Applied Physics published a study in 2018 claiming that the Great Pyramid of Giza can focus electromagnetic energy through its chambers. Now, this recent disclosure had practical implications. It can help scientists discover new ways to make better solar cells, and only fuels the beliefs that there's ancient mystical powers trapped deep within this Egyptian marvel. You know, at one corner of the Great Pyramid is a family tomb flanked by two seated statues. Whoever that tomb belonged to had to be somebody of great prominence to have their tomb at the Great Pyramid. You know, the Great Pyramid contains a passage that descends about 354 feet into the bedrock. Then it levels off and continues another 29 feet to an unfinished chamber. You know, if you take a look at the back of the American $1 bill, an unfinished pyramid appears topped by a gleaming eyeball. Now, Dan Brown wrote about this. He attached influences from the occult to the Masons. But this is the great seal of the U.S. The pyramid represents strength. Its truncated top, the idea the nation continued to build, and the eye is a well-known Christian symbol, the eye of providence, with God seeing everything. You know, a lot of things have been found in the sands around the Great Pyramid. Now, the tomb of Marasak was discovered in 1927 by George Andrew Reisner. He wrote that his group was startled by the vivid colors. Nobody understood how those colors could last for millennia. Then an elaborately decorated sarcophagus of a rich merchant was discovered buried in the sands at Giza. Zahi Hawass, the archaeologist that I found at the sands of Egypt, hide many secrets. About 4,500 years after the pyramid was completed as a tomb for the 4th dynasty pharaoh Khufu, this oldest of the seven wonders of the ancient world continues to bewitch with the notion of mystery still to be revealed. And since no body was ever found in it, I don't know how they can say that it was actually done to be a tomb for a pharaoh. The largest of the three pyramids in the Giza complex, the Great Pyramid, is 481 feet tall and held the title for 3,800 years as the tallest structure made by man. It took as many as 100,000 men up to 2 decades to quarry, shape, haul, and assemble more than 2 million blocks and then cover it all with limestone to give it a smooth finish that has since eroded. Once thought to have been built with slave labor, modern research now suggests it was the work of highly skilled artisans. But the question is, how did they construct these monuments out of stone weighing more than 2 tons each without cranes, trucks, and power tools? And how could they have designed them so precisely without engineers or computers? Now, of course, UFO followers suggest some help from aliens, and it seems the heavens play a role when the pyramids configured in the alignment with the stars on Orion's belt. Even more mysterious is what's inside. A chamber holds the mummified body of Khufu in a red granite sarcophagus weighing almost 4 tons. And a hall called the Great Void, which was just discovered in 2017, had a purpose that remains, like so much about the pyramid, unknown. Things are still being discovered, even after 2,000 years. Let's go to England. Talk about Stonehenge. Which is what has been called a monument of enigma and legend. Of all the possible uses of Stonehenge, the iconic megalithic circle in southern England, festival grounds haven't ranked high. And yet recent studies on exhumed pig bones suggest people gathered from far away to party under the rocks. About 4,600 years after ancient Britons built Stonehenge on the Salisbury Plains, it's the mystery that continues to puzzle, amaze, and inspire popular culture and myth. Long before the first archaeologist spade hit soil, legends abound of the Arthurian wizard Merlin plucking the stones from Ireland and recruiting giants to assemble Stonehenge. Invading Danes, occupying Romans, and even Satan has been credited as being involved in the building. Well, scientists have now traced its beginnings to death, the site appearing to be a burial ground dating back maybe as far as 8,000 B.C. At first, it appears to have been little more than a ditch with simple posts, and then around 3100 B.C., the first stones arrived from quarries 180 miles away in modern-day Wales. It's believed they were moved there on wooden sledges or even carried to create the interior rocks of Stonehenge. But about 2400 B.C., much of what remains today emerged, including the 108-foot diameter circle of massive 25-ton stones that are 13 feet high and fitted with mortises and tendon joints usually found in carpentry. As for why the ancients went to such trouble, researchers still can't agree. Along with funeral purposes, Stonehenge seems to have astrological functions with alignments to the moon, the sun, and certain stars. Whatever its function, nobody can look at this marvelous and mammoth monument and fail to be impressed. There's been a theory that the rocks of Stonehenge were chosen for their tonal qualities. When struck, the monument's blue stones respond with a loud clanging noise, according to Royal College of Art researchers. They attribute unusual acoustic properties to the stones. And many ancient cultures ascribe healing powers to ringing rocks that explain why they were hauled from so far away in Wales. Then in Laos, we have the Plain of Jars, which were thought to be drinking vessels for the gods. In the valleys and foothills of the Laotian highlands stand thousands of massive stone jars that seem to have been carved by the gods. They survived both 2,000 years of monsoonal rains and a relentless bombing by U.S. forces during the Vietnam War. The vessels of the Plain of Jars are 3 feet to 10 feet high and weigh almost as much as 35 tons, mostly grouped into sets of three or more, only one of them with markings, a bas-relief of a frog figure similar to those seen in ancient China. Otherwise, the jars are as blank as their history. Legend tells that the king of the giants, Kun Chung, brewed rice wine in them to celebrate a battle victory. Western researchers theorize they may have collected rainwater, which was boiled for purity and stored in for thirsty caravan traders during the dry months. Recent studies suggest the jars were funerary urns based on the charred bones and human remains found in a nearby cave. Madeline Kalani, the first Westerner to study the jars 90 years ago, found glass beads, burned teeth, bone fragments inside the soil-filled jars. And certainly a cloud of death hangs over these fields, which are pockmarked by craters from the 262 million tons of American ordnance dropped here in the 60s and 70s. In fact, many of these bombs buried themselves into the dirt and still wait to explode. Since the countless barrels of stone described by 1930s French archaeologist Madeleine Colani were quarried up to 5 miles away, the most elusive questions for science remains how these things were moved to where they're located. Archaeologists call it the world's most dangerous archaeological site due to the many unexploded bombs. And stone lids with animal carvings, including monkeys and tigers and frogs, have been found. Discs discovered nearby are believed to be grave markers at Iron Age burial sites. However, as with so many other mysterious locations, nobody knows for sure. Well, we've come to the end of another show. We'll be back tomorrow night at 6, when once again you'll be listening to Ken Hudnall and the Ken Hudnall Show. Until then, have a truly great evening.